Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Gift of Gaming podcast, and we're well into 2025, and what better thing to do now than sit down with my friends and discuss the big three and what they achieved or did not achieve in 2024. It's me, your host, Darren Wade, and today I'm joined by Craig, the Critical Nolan. Craig.
Hey, Darren, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. And, of course, the artist, the podcaster, formerly known as Mr. Xbox Games Pass himself, Luke Maycock. Luke. Good to have you on board.
Good to be here, Darren. And I would like to formally reclaim my title as I've restarted my Game Pass subscription.
So hey, welcome back, Mr. Xbox.
Nice. He's back, baby.
There he is. I couldn't see you.
I'm back.
Good to have you back. Was this in preparation for this episode, or was it just...
It was as a result of the preparation for this episode. I was going through all the Game Pass stuff that's happened the past year, and I was like, there's some games on here I really want to play. And then I looked at the different memberships, and I was like, oh, I could do like €12 for a month and get through a bunch of games. So I played some Halo before I came up here.
Nice. Okay,
Halo. Which Halo?
Halo Infinite.
What is that? Halo it's the, 4 or 5? Or
it's technically Halo 6.
Oh, okay. So we're a bit further down the pipeline.
It's the most recent one, and it's their multiplayer, which is... Their multiplayer is actually free, but you get the online play capability with Game Pass.
And none of us play Halo. So who are you playing Halo with?
Just playing online. Randos.
Just randos.
It's an insanely fun game. I enjoyed it. I was thrown right back in.
Most online games I play these days tend to be, unless it's a Monster Hunter Jive, it's mostly with randos.
Can't wait to play Monster Hunter.
Oh my god, I'm so excited to play. But Greg, let's you know, before we get into things, how excited are you for Monster Hunter?
Very excited, Darren. I cannot wait. I'm worried about the graphics, I must say, but I've heard the zones are much bigger, and that to me will be massive. That's what I wanted.
Did you play any of the beta stuff? So you haven't seen it at all?
No, I haven't played anything. I haven't even watched trailers, haven't looked at Max going into it or anything. I don't want to know at all. Amazing. I'm a little disappointed that we don't have the wire bugs or the palamutes, but I think those new
secrets
look kind of cool.
They're pretty cool. And you can change your weapon with them as well. They kind of carry
having
a second
two
weapon.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, now I don't have to have a main. I can have two at once. I can switch mid-fight. That's awesome.
Just for a bit of variety, because I think it sounds like you stay out in the open map for longer. Do you know what I mean? Like, you can do a quest, but you're still out there. It doesn't bring it back to like a hub every time. Yeah. So I think the kind of hub exists in the open world places.
They're streamlining
cool.
it. Like, now if you cut off the tail, you just get it. No carve.
Now, see, I'm not a fan of that.
I like having to carve it and like someone having to protect me while I carve it,
or the frustration that like when another
monster comes in,
a hunt ended
it.
And you're desperately trying to get the last carve. Like, but it's like
I know it's annoying, but
it's
that was always humor. Like, I never got annoyed.
No, it was
I always
great
laughed
fun.
When that happened. Like, you know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we still have a week to wait. We are tomorrow week. Monster Hunter Arrival. What have you been playing in the meantime?
A ton, Darren. Of XCOM War of the Chosen. I cleared it and now I'm back playing it again.
Nice.
Just because I didn't get enough of it. And it's that freaking good. And I have a bone to pick with you as well about this. Because
uh-oh.
Apparently we would have XCOM 3 right now if Marvel didn't approach Firaxis and go, hey, will you make us a Marvel game? And then just as he was about to put pen to paper with XCOM 3, he goes, fine. I'll do it.
Midnight Suns.
And now we get fucking Midnight Suns.
And you know what? I completed Midnight Suns. And listen, I haven't delved as many hours into XCOM as you have. So I can't say for sure. But I will say this. I had a roaring good time with Marvel Midnight
Suns.
I'm
going to pick it up. And then I'm going to come at you with everything I have if it's not good.
I don't think Craig's
going to
like
good,
this game,
I'm just going to pretend this never happened.
I'm going to delete this conversation from my brain. I think it's quite good, but I think it's a little bit samey, I think. I got a little bit, just towards the end, I got a little bit of
just what makes
fatigue.
XCOM great is that so much can happen randomly. It's kind of like Mortal Kombat, you know, like you can kill people, whereas with Marvel characters, they're not going to be able to let you do that.
No.
And so they're pulling back on the stuff that they have and what makes them
good. In fairness, to your point, I'm a bigger fan. Like when we talked about when I play Fire Emblem games or anything like that, I love the risk. I love losing a character and having permadeath and things like that for teams.
And that's great in XCOM.
Yeah, and I was a bit disappointed. Now, of course, they're Marvel heroes, so they're not going to be able to kill anybody off because there's a storyline that has to like play out for the whole game, so I get that. But I did miss the lack of risk. You know, being into those strategy games where every move is important,
as soon as this is over, you should just pick up War of the Chosen and play. And then you won't even realize Monster Hunter will be out. You'll be like, no, Craig, I'm still playing this.
I don't think so. I'm into Civ at the minute, and I got to my third age in Civ 7, and I won't go into it too much because
the irony is it's the same group.
Yeah, we're only talking about Firaxis at the minute. But Kev got in touch with me from New Zealand. He was like, we should definitely do a Civ 7 episode because he picked it up as well. So I won't go too much into it.
Yeah. And I won't go too much into War of the Chosen, even though I played it and playing it again. Colm is also doing that. Maybe if we can get Darren in the near future,
we could do an episode
the lads,
XCOM.
We could do an episode about it, because I really want to talk about War of the Chosen, like, in depth.
And it
and
is,
not just
for
like
anybody
a two-minute thing.
Wondering, War of the Chosen is on sale at the minute on the PlayStation Store for $3.99. I just picked it up on the off chance that I was like, well, I think I will play it.
He has it, Craig. Yeah, but he owns it.
Does that come with XCOM 2?
No, I got XCOM 2 was like a PlayStation Plus game ages ago. I never paid for XCOM 2, but I've had it for a long time.
Yeah, I remember telling everyone it was free on
PlayStation. So I think if people were clever enough to put it into their library and have it then, now since, and if they're keen on getting into any more, the DLC's on for it. Like, it's down from €20 to €4, so it's, I mean, it's absolutely bargain.
Mega cheap then, yeah. And it's one of those 100-hour games, easy, like,
you know. Luke, sorry, we kind of cut you off there with Halo. We got sidetracked by Monster Hunter. It got mentioned, then we just lost it.
I don't know. I think you mentioned it as well.
I did. It was me, actually. Yeah, it was me. I just wanted a nice segue. No, but Halo, in terms of, because that was the new.
So Halo, fucking tell me about that.
So go on, tell me. Are you still using the needle gun?
Master Chief? What's Master Chief up to these days?
Is it him still?
It's Master Chief.
I thought like after the fourth one, didn't he not disappear into a planet unknown or some shit?
Did Halo ODST was different Spartans, and Halo 5 you played half the game as not Master Chief, and you played the other half as Master Chief. Halo 5, although not a bad game, was the worst Halo game, fair.
Okay.
So we don't like to think back on that fondly. Halo's fine. Halo, like Halo Infinite multiplayer, like I said, is just like really fun. I think they've 343, the guys who do Halo at the moment, have done a really good job of capturing the magic of Halo multiplayer, which is always, like, Darren, you remember, I played a lot of Halo.
My first experience with online gaming, it was fantastic.
Yeah, and somehow they managed to capture that. For the mainline games, I don't enjoy them that much. I get what they're going for, but it just doesn't hit me the same way old school Halo did. But that's actually only, like, I just played some Halo today. I've mostly been playing like League of Legends in the spare time.
Nice.
And enjoying that, yeah. Enjoying, you know, floating around and getting frustrated and turning off the game
and then coming back because, like, you know, what is it that it's not hopium, member berries, whatever it is, any of those drugs that make you want to come back and play some more League of Legends?
What member? What
member berries? Is just from South Park where reference. It's just like the nostalgia. It's like
I remember.
Just member berries. People eat member berries just to be nostalgic. Like,
yeah,
you know?
It's very like that.
Yeah,
ditch. What game are we talking about? Halo. Ditch Halo and play XCOM.
What game are we talking about? I was thinking about XCOM.
I said ditch XCOM, made a fool of myself. Stop myself, though.
Oh, but guys, that's not what we're here for. We're not here for Monster Hunter or XCOM or Halo.
Soon.
Yeah, very soon. Coming soon. To a podcast near you, which will be this podcast. So don't go elsewhere, please. We badly need you to listen to this podcast. But anyway, Big 3 2024. We did this last year.
It made sense last year because it was the big three in 23, which rhymed.
Yeah.
It's a shame we couldn't add one more on, get Chris in for the big four or something like that. But then we'd have to do that every year and it'd start to get insane.
It just gets ridiculous.
Yeah.
By six, we'd be like, are we going to have to make our own console?
We're all exhausted, like, you know. So unfortunately, it doesn't have the same ring to it, but we did a look at PlayStation, Nintendo, and Xbox and how well they did or didn't do in 2024. I know, Craig, you're a PlayStation man as well, but we kind of associate you with Nintendo. Yeah. You're a Nintendo guy.
I can kind
guy.
Of cover everything, you know.
Bar
PC.
Luke, you're an Xbox guy, naturally, and then I am only PlayStation.
That puts me in the red corner. I don't like that.
I'm in blue corner. Luke's taking green corner. And this is the triangle. There's not a fourth corner, so those are the only corners you get. And Craig, on your...
I'm reigning champion, as I remember last year being the victor in the three-way
battle.
Yes,
you had my vote and your vote for Nintendo, and Luke, I think you voted for Xbox for 2023.
Classic. I'm voting for yourself. I did it first.
It was the best console last year, that's all I'm going
to
say.
2024, at a top view, Craig, we'll go to you first with Nintendo.
Reigning champion, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to forfeit right now, because I am not going to win this time. Because 2024 was a disastrous year for Nintendo. People might not admit it. They may have enjoyed all the games that came out that, you know, came out years ago that you can play again, and they're slightly different, but not really, you know. These included Paper Mario The Thousand Year Door, which I complained about constantly, and then I bought it.
Oh.
And then I got towards the end of the game. I don't know why I bought it. I think I had like a free credit or something, but you're... if anyone wants to insult me, they have every right to, because I don't know why I did it. I just wanted to see if it had held up.
Yeah.
And no, it hasn't. Like, it was a brilliant game in 2002. I loved it then. But in 2024, it has just not changed enough. They just colored it with a bit of paint and added some additional sound effects. But essentially, you're just going left to right, and the battles, like, you go in, there's a Goomba, and it's like, okay, Mario has a jump attack and he has a hammer attack. Which are you going to do? Oh, it's a Goomba, and we've all played Mario, so it's jump. Yeah. Here's a turtle. What are you going to do? Is it jump and hammer? Oh, it's hammer. And it doesn't really get more advanced.
Funny he
that.
Said that. I was going to say jump.
Yeah, I was going to say jump too. Yeah. I was like, that's what I do.
I would have done
that. No, you
would
have been wrong. And he would have just endured the hit, you know? But it sucks because you essentially just have Mario, who has jump and hammer, and then a backup character, one of nine. And, like, you can only have one with you. And, like, you So it just means if you have a party of, like, 9 or 10 characters, you rarely see the others. You have them for their story mission, and that's it. Like, you know, mm-hmm. you'll never really see them again except to swap to solve a puzzle. But generally, the game is just really, really poor combat. And that makes up 50 to 60% of the game, you know? And the other bits, you know, you go into a town and someone's like, whoa, you're Mario, you're the mustache dude. And you're like, haha, that was kind of funny, but not really. You know, in 2002, it was just nice to see a joke in a Mario game rather than where's the princess, you know? Yeah. So we give it more credit than it deserves. Like, the humor is bad by now.
Yeah,
current
it's old.
Standards.
Yeah.
It's just, it was so odd to see that in a Mario game that it was kind of cute. But now we've had Bowser and Luigi, Mario's Inside Story, and we've had the next game I was going to talk about, but I won't mention it just yet. But Paper Mario, another remake, another fucking paint job. IGN gave it 9 out of 10. 9 out of 10, Darren.
Yeah, that's outrageous.
They gave Final Fantasy VII Rebirth 9 out of 10.
It's just not comparable.
Like, I'd say they finished this game in 3 months.
But
you know
what's mad? And I'm going to go a little bit off topic here, but if we're talking about, like, we're rating, you know, the consoles and how they did. The 10 scale has been lost.
It's completely
been lost
gone.
Because in my mind, if you go 5 and above, or say 6 and above, you're talking about a good plus game from 6 mm-hmm. and above. And then anything below 5, you're kind of talking about this game's like bad. But like, everything pretty much gets a 7. Yeah. And I'm like, for it to be considered a good game, it has to be a 7 or 8. And I'm like, no, but like 5
or 6. But the difference,
but
like, you could play a 7 and then play another 7 and be like, oh my God, this has so, like 10 times more content, better graphics, better story, better everything, and yet it's still got a 7
because
the
Mario game a 6 out of 10 and say that you enjoyed it and say, yeah, great, okay, so I know that if I buy that, I'm buying a 6 out of 10 quality game. But don't put it up there with Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, which is just like what they achieved in that game and the length of that game, the content of that game was insane. It's just the scaling is
it's horrendous.
And yeah. I don't know if it's something
there's
that we
no
can
accountability
maybe
either,
we can
like,
change it here.
That's why I'm trying. If we can get official, I will review bomb the shit out of this stuff so that we can lower the score. No, I wouldn't actually. But I will give them fair.
But fair
what I feel is a fair review.
That's what I mean. 6 out of 10, I don't think is a bad score. Look, it is now. Like a 5 or 6 out of 10 is considered bad now.
Paper
but
Mario,
it shouldn't
the
be.
1,000 Year Door remade is a 4 out of 10 game.
Yeah, okay.
And that's mainly because the combat is not good at all. It's jump, it's hammer, and it's like hold the button until it goes green and you get the timing right. But beyond that, you're doing that for like 30 to 40 hours and it's so repetitive.
Yeah.
Like I can't enjoy those slow turn-based RPGs anymore. Even if FF7, the original, or FF8 original came out today, I don't think I could play it. The speed up times 2 or speed up times 3 make it so that I could play those games. Like, yeah. But those things are essential now, like the speed up type thing, because just attack, dodge, attack, dodge, attack, dodge, fire, you know,
as
like
a mechanic,
it's just
it's
not enough. Yeah. And there's too many games that do that. So it's now just you're repeating the process over and over again. And Nintendo have milked that for all it's worth this year. So I guess I could transition into another game unless you guys want to.
No.
I'm happy to hear the disaster.
I'm kind of on a roll of being a dick, so I'll continue that going. So the other one that they released is Mario & Luigi Brothership.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And that one as well has Mario & Luigi who can jump and use a hammer. And that's the only attacks that they have. But in these games, at least it's a bit more animated. Like you can, instead of just pressing a button to dodge an enemy's attack, they'll do a kind of animated thing where they might jump over or Mario and Luigi might do a little dance or there's some sort of animation to make it slightly different. But ultimately, it's the same bullshit.
And it's got a very weird art style.
The art style is not good at all. It has that kind of Mario Rabbids kind of look to
it's
it.
It's got,
you know? Like it's oddly cartoony as though it's some sort of like, not Disney, but DreamWorks movie or something like that. It just doesn't suit. Mario and Luigi... IGN gave that a 5. I was delighted. But its Metascore is something like 8 out of 10 or something like that. And that's a Game Boy game that they've just slightly enhanced. And the Game Boy game was Mario and Luigi, Bowser's Inside Story. And that was a very cool concept because Bowser ate you and then you were inside his stomach and had to escape and do stuff. And you had to switch between Mario and Luigi and Bowser at the same time. And you used both screens simultaneously to move. Like, that is an amazing gimmick. And, like, this has none of that,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's just a watered-down version of that game. And it's getting great reviews again. And 2024, I'm saying, like, they definitely made that game in no time at all because it's piss shit. Like, it's just piss and shit.
Piss shit.
Someone took a piss and then they went for a shit. And that's what came out like.
It's like,
but
you know,
it,
the way
it looks awful.
Birds pee and poop at the same time. It's that.
Yeah.
That's what comes out of a cloaca.
So that's the opening of 2024. It was Paper Mario. Like, two games that are pretty much identical, mm-hmm. you know, released by the same different studios, but the exact same type of concept. You have The Thousand Year Door. Great game in 2002. Brilliant game in 2002. I absolutely loved it, my original playthrough, and I would probably have given that game like a 9 out of 10. But this paint job is a 4 out of 10.
Yeah, okay.
Because it hasn't done anything new.
Yeah.
And now that game is bad by today's standards. You guys want to...
Yeah, no, absolutely. So
I have a lot more at the vent, but I feel like I should take a little break before I do.
Interesting, because I know you're beginning your shit on... I'm getting a little bit of feedback here.
Like remakes, kind of. Oh. Remasters.
Just going to pause for 1 second here, gentlemen. All right, we're back in. So that was just some technical difficulties. Sorry about that, fellas. But what I was going to mention there, I know you were shitting on Nintendo there, Craig. Mm-hmm. Understandably so. I didn't think it had any sort
I'm
of
in their
saving
corner,
grace.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, right? Banning for them. But would you be surprised to hear that in the Switch's 8th year for Nintendo, it sold 150 million units in 2024, which is double the next highest, which was PlayStation at 75 million.
Well, that doesn't surprise me at all. I mean, they still keep releasing different versions of the Switch.
The
even though they have
like
a
that.
New one on the way.
Yeah.
They probably would release a new one tomorrow despite having already announced the Switch 2. They're that greedy, like, you know?
He's batting real well. Luke, what did you discover on your 2024 search at Xbox?
Before I go into Xbox, can I just ask a little bit? Do you think the year was disastrous for Nintendo? Like, you think it was...
No, I don't care how much money the company made. That is irrelevant to me. Mm-hmm. Like, I do not give a shit what their financials are. Yeah. I know a lot of people talk financials because there's not enough games, and I get that. But that's not what people give a shit about.
Well, like us
only
as consumers, I'm kind of like, did
I only
want to
hear about where they're good games or they're not good games, you know?
Yeah.
And with Nintendo, a lot of the podcasts that talk about Nintendo constantly go on about, oh, this term, apparently the Switch has outsold Microsoft. And like, but what are the games? You know, just stop talking nonsense. So I don't want to hear that, Darren. I don't give a shit how many millions there are. You know? Just tell me about the games and if they're good or not, because that doesn't... I don't have a stake in Nintendo, so I don't benefit.
You don't benefit from that. That's fair. Yeah. Yeah. I think the reason I brought it up was that for me, because when we were watching the Nintendo Directs and that, I really thought the game was like, or, you know, the Switch was just like dying a very slow death. Yeah. And I was like, oh my God, for God's sake, put it out of its misery. But in terms of
it
still...
It is on track
selling
to
like
become the best-selling console of all time.
It's going to pass the PlayStation 2, which would be devastating for me. I love the fact that PlayStation 2
is PlayStation is a better console. You know?
PlayStation 2 was just like PlayStation 2 is the best, one of the best libraries of video games ever. Like, I mean, I know a lot of them wouldn't play well today, but back in the day,
one of the biggest libraries, maybe.
Oh yeah,
it just has so many greats.
Luke,
Xbox also not a great year. Also not a great year in the green corner.
They were kind of in our news episodes a lot for all the wrong reasons, I think.
Yeah. How many studios did they close?
God. There was kind of a struggle this year. The biggest, like, embarrassment, I suppose, for Xbox this year was you can PR this in a nice way, but it's really just covering costs, which was the exclusives that they let go for PlayStation, like,
which is Forza Horizon,
Sea of Thieves, Hi-Fi Rush, those kind of things. And then I think Hi-Fi Rush was one of the studios they closed, even though it was a really successful
and
game.
Hi-Fi Rush was such a great game.
It looked
as well.
Really good.
And
so that came out on PlayStation this year, and, you know, I'm sure Phil Spencer would spin it in a way where he's like, oh yeah, the reason we did this is because... I don't even think Phil Spencer could come out against exclusivity after acquiring like Activision Blizzard. But the real reason was just to cover their bottom line, like to cover the money that they were bleeding, I think. I think that's the only reason. They needed another, like by releasing it on other platforms, they get more revenue streams.
Of course.
Which I think is ultimately the long-term goal of Xbox, because we've talked for a few years now about Xbox's whole plan being like, it's Game Pass, it's streaming, and we want it on every single device. Like, we want everything to be an Xbox. And
it's a great ad they had. Was that this year that they had the ad and the whole thing was, this is an Xbox?
Oh, yeah. I think that might have been this year. Yeah. Where it just
better
like,
have been.
Yeah. That's why we talked about it. I think I saw that some. Maybe I didn't. Maybe I just saw a post of it on Reddit or something. But yeah, it was just like, this is an Xbox and it's just random.
Yeah, your phone, yeah. Your computer, your whatever. It's all on Xbox.
These are all Xboxes, which is like the most succinct vision of what Xbox want the future to be. Mm. But the reality of it is that in the meantime, like Xbox users are kind of not being bled dry. Like I still think Game Pass, although it's gotten so much more expensive, is a great deal, and it is a great way to play games if you're in your like 30s or whatever, and you're fucking busy all the time and you're playing catch up. I still think it's fantastic for those reasons, but yeah. Like the dividends for Microsoft, it's really hard to see whether the strategy is actually working for them. Like, I do think the model that Xbox are building now will probably be the future of video games. I think they might be just correct about the strategy, but like super wrong about the timing. And because in the meantime, they're just like,
we all know what happened to Stadia.
Yeah, Stadia. Well, yeah, there's so many examples through gaming history. Like, sure, you can talk about all the amazing features that were on the Sega Dreamcast. Like, Sega Dreamcast had like online gaming and like all these incredible features, but it just got sank by DRM management at the time, which is a little more technical of a story. But it kind of feels like this year was just, we were just kind of taking our lumps. And I think all the big Phil Spencer like coming out and apologizing for that Arcane Studio game Redfall, being crap and that kind of thing in 2023. He really tried to like take the blame and like spin this picture of the future of Xbox. But the resulting year that came after, like 2024, was just like a bit of a nothing burger of a year for Xbox. Like, the exclusives we had were Senua Saga, which looked gorgeous. That Indiana Jones game, which is apparently very good, although I've not played it.
And it's, I think that's coming to, no, I mean, it was exclusive for 2024. So yeah. We'll take it, but that's another one of the ones that that's coming to PlayStation, I think, this spring.
Yeah. I think in April. So yeah,
That's all the exclusives.
No, there's three other exclusives.
You didn't write them down.
No,
just didn't care for them, I guess. I think exclusives is a good argument, but they have to be good exclusives. Would be my.
Think it's the only argument. You know, like if you even talk about a game that's on the other consoles, I'm like, well, I wrote down one here, and it turns out it actually is for Xbox and PlayStation. So I'm just saying, don't you dare, Dan, because I was going to do it, and I was like, no, I have to correct myself.
What game?
And I was going to talk about this for ages because it's supposed to be really, really good, and it's Unicorn Overlord.
Oh yeah.
It seemed really, really cool. Like, I only
terrible name, but I
awful name. As soon as I heard that,
but
I don't want to
disagree.
Like
the trailer,
anything that has unicorn in it, I'm like, unicorn, yeah, but not I mean, a brony. No, thank you.
I think the thing, the problem. I think the problem with like Unicorn Overlord as a name, it kind of immediately at a first impression without seeing anything, I'm like, that doesn't sound like it's a game for me. But I watched the trailer and I was like, that looks like a great fucking game. And I think that's the problem I have with the name, is I think it automatically shuts out a lot of maybe like-minded
people
like myself.
It's probably because it's a Japanese studio people. And the word for unicorn is probably something very, very different over there and cool sounding. But here, you can't name something unicorn. And they do it a lot in Japan now. Like, there's Gundam Unicorn
and Gundam
stuff like
Unicorn
that.
Is a big, yeah, Unicorn is a bit of a
And I haven't watched that. I love Gundam, but I'm not watching that series.
Whoa, I've seen the...
Gundam Wing is excellent. Gundam Unicorn, fuck you.
I saw the live-to-scale version of the Gundam Unicorn statue in Tokyo when I was over there. And it's
does it have
awesome.
A horn?
Is it really big?
It's the size of a building. Like, yeah, it does.
So lame.
It's awesome. It's awesome. Like, I'm not even as big as its foot. It was so cool.
If that thing can stop lightning, then fair enough. But if that's just a fucking decoration, then fuck
catches
that.
Some lightning bolts and charges
why
up.
Why not? We need more exciting things to look at, you know?
No, I disagree with your argument about exclusives just because of Game Pass. Like, that's just a model for...
No, that is a model that works for like people like yourself who just don't play as many games.
Yeah, 100%, which is like 80%.
Which is most people,
It's 90%, I'd say 80 to 90% of the market, which is like you know, that
I don't know, teenagers are pretty like once they get a summer with 3 months they'll play fucking everything like,
god I remember
and
those
they're
days.
Just like what am I playing next, what am I playing next, you know, and then they do drugs because they can't think of it
and that's why it's important to play video games, kids.
Yeah, if they can afford to buy like an 80 quid new game that comes out, like maybe they can, I don't know, I wasn't one of those teenagers. Like the Games Pass model, I was thinking a lot about this because I was doing the list of Games Pass games that came out this year and going through them all and the argument that I always run into with you guys in these episodes is that, oh well, this is a game that came out 3 years ago, this is a game that came out 4 years ago, and I want to be able to play it when it comes out.
That sounds like something I would say, yes.
But like 90% of the time you don't play it when it comes out. Not
well,
you
I
specifically.
Do.
you specifically do, Craig. Yeah. But it's just the model is, so like the very first game that came out in Game Pass this year is Assassin's Creed Valhalla, which is like
an amazing game.
Yeah. I haven't played it. Maybe,
you should.
I can now. I got my membership.
You
back.
Won't. A month is not enough.
it could be. No, it's so like if you're a Game Pass subscriber and your whole ecosystem is just Game Pass, because the Xbox model is so heavily all in on Game Pass.
Yeah.
Like if you just float around the store without Game Pass, it's not. They have like developer sales and stuff like that, and they have some first party stuff that they promote, which is a bit annoying actually.
Yeah.
But it was actually very hard for me to find. I basically went through the list of like PlayStation exclusives and Nintendo exclusives and stuff like that and looked at them. And for the PlayStation, or not PlayStation exclusives, sorry, top games on PlayStation for the last year. Yeah. And when I was going through that list, I was like, oh, well, like 80 to 90% of these titles are on Xbox as well. Mm-hmm. But it's really hard to find them in the store because Xbox is so focused on Game Pass. Like it's just, that's your whole world when you're on Xbox. So if you're entrenched in the model, you're just floating along and then a game comes out. And like I said, it's not a day one release. It's been like patched and updated for years. You get all the DLC with it. Like you get like whatever 30 or 40 quid worth of DLC with the game when you play it for the first time. And it's just a great way to experience it. And none of those are exclusives. Well, some of them are exclusives, but that's not why you're there.
Yeah, yeah. I know they have the better version, but I mean like Nintendo and PlayStation both have that now, that model. It's just not as big. Like you said, Assassin's Creed Valhalla, that's free on PlayStation as well. You know, like, so there are a lot of games out there that use that model. My just concern is that I'm always excited about the next game. I don't look back ever.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't, because I only play like a couple of big games a year, but I'm super, super excited about those games. And I'll always like be watching trailers and talking to you guys, like having podcasts about it. And I get involved in the hype. I've no hype for a game that's 3 years old, you know, and it does absolutely nothing for me because if I didn't like it then, I don't give a shit now, you know? It's kind of like my motto, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's fair.
I guess I'm uniquely individual in that type of perspective.
I think it's an agree to disagree kind of.
Yeah, and
thing.
Just different. I appreciate your take on it, Luke, for sure. I think Games Pass is the ultimate version of it, but I will say I think the PlayStation is potentially beginning to catch up on that. Like, I mean, the State of Play in September 2024, I think, had a section. They do it now in the middle of their State of Plays where they announce what's coming on PlayStation Plus Essential Premium, like the three tiers of the membership, the thing that you can have. I think most of us are on Essential, which is kind of like your monthly games, and then you get like a whole game catalog to review as well of like very good, like that a couple of them are old games. But in the most recent, I can't talk about this year, but going to September of last year, they had a section where they announced like, oh, coming day one on PlayStation Essential, which was like the whole Game Pass thing. I remember watching that one of they had a real long showcase in like 2023 maybe, and I was watching being like, holy shit, this is what it was meant to be. But I think other groups are catching up on that. And like with PlayStation, you talk about like Assassin's Creed Valhalla or things like that. Like that's on the catalog for us now, I think, as well. So it's one of those things where I'm like, oh yeah. I mean, it's not as vast and you're not getting as many day one releases as like the Game Pass.
Oh,
but
yeah,
I think
never get a day one release. Yeah, that's
of like a AAA. Like there's a couple of indie games that are getting a day one release.
But not AAA. Still, like that's not a part of the PlayStation model yet, is it?
Not that I've seen,
and I don't think it should be ever, because I think that dooms studios like to the point where it makes sense to me why Xbox would.
That's why Xbox are acquiring the studios.
Yeah,
like,
but they're also getting rid of them because they don't need a lot of games to come out anymore. If your model is 100 quid a year, then it doesn't matter how many games you're released.
Yeah, and I think that's the only thing whereby with the Games Pass thing that we've seen, especially when things aren't going well. I think we kind of saw that in 2024 with the acquisition of Activision that cost them $6 billion.
It's like 70 billion, no?
fuck, was it that much? Jesus yeah. Christ. No wonder they're... But I mean, I think it, because of that, they've got a huge amount to recoup and to try and recoup quickly. And what you saw was, I mean, we were reporting on the news every feckin' month. There was just another studio being closed. And lots of these ones were announced as day one release. Like Hi-Fi Rush was a day one release on Games Pass.
And yeah, they killed the studio. That's probably the reason. Because they didn't make the money they should have made.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I think that's the problem is that that studio is guaranteed money up till a certain amount of units yeah, sold type giving, thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas I think if they went out on their own and the game was as good as it was, they probably would have done
They'd probably
better.
Still be open. Like if they yeah. hadn't have signed that deal with Microsoft, which is just heartbreaking. Another, like to your point about like PlayStation kind of catching up, when I was looking at the different models for Xbox Game Pass today and like the price points and stuff like that, I think the highest tier of Game Pass is now more expensive than the highest tier of PlayStation.
How much is the highest tier of X Game Pass?
Well, so first of all, there used to not be tiers of Game Pass.
Yeah.
There was Game Pass Console and Game Pass Ultimate. Or Game Pass Ultimate was Game Pass Console and Game Pass PC bundled them together.
Okay.
Not really a tier thing. Yeah, yeah. Now there are tiers where you get like less games for lower tiers.
Uh-huh.
So the highest tier is $17.99 for Xbox Game Pass. And I think it's $16.99 for the PlayStations.
For their premium one, yeah.
Oh, that's monthly.
Monthly.
Okay. Come on, don't hit us with monthly. Go yearly. I want to save my books.
I actually don't know because they might work out around the same price with the discount you get for the year one.
Yeah.
But to another point of yours, one of the things that you get with Ultimate, so I got the standard subscription when I got my Game Pass back.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things you get with Ultimate is the day one releases. So that's only for the highest tier.
Right.
Now. So standard and core don't get day one releases.
So they've kind of paywalled.
It's staggered by a year. They stagger the new IP releases by a year. And that was always like really core to the model of Game Pass was like you sign up for Game Pass, you get Xbox Studios games or Xbox first party games day one yeah. on the console, like Starfield or whatever. Maybe you don't care about Starfield, but you can have it for free day one. Go, go, go.
I don't think that was ever going to last.
I think that's a little bit to the overarching point here is like how long is any of this going to last? Like how long is Game Pass actually going to like... Is Game Pass actually pulling it off?
Yeah.
Or are they pulling... Because this year doesn't feel like they are.
I think this is because I'm batting for the blue corner here when I say this, but I think to me, I think the PlayStation model seems to be, for all involved, a bit more sustainable. In terms of like, yeah, like that, we'll put some games on that are like, they came out last year or whatever else. Like the Assassin's Creed Valhalla, I should check out what's out there, but there's like The Last of Us 1 remastered or something
They are putting out a lot of remasters or games that like, say, came out on the Switch and aren't graphically as good as, say, a PS5 game.
Yeah.
Like No More Heroes 3, that came out like free on PlayStation because you can't charge a €70 for it because it's a Switch game and nobody should charge that much for a Switch game.
But
Nintendo do, but like the other... competitors know that they shouldn't, you know? Yeah.
And it's just, I think it's one of those things whereby you look at what happened to, I think Tango Studios with Hi-Fi Rush, I think, is like probably the best example of here's a really well-polished game that deserved all of the reviews and praise and everything that it got. And to me, if a studio with that, like that sells well, even by Xbox's metrics, they admitted it sold well. If you still close the studio, then what you're doing isn't working.
Yeah, 100% agree. 100% agree.
Which is such a pity because when we talked about this, about 2023, your kind of big argument for Xbox then was the Game Pass thing. And I was sitting there being like, yeah, I mean, it does sound pretty amazing, but I think when there's a huge amount of money on the line or there's money that needs to be recouped or things business-wise aren't going as well, then it doesn't seem to be the kind of star-studded platform that you'd expect or want it to be.
My big cutting takeaway against Xbox, I'm doing terrible in the green corner, I know.
Man, we're all going the other way.
We're all critics. I can't wait to hear Darren's critiques of PlayStation.
I've got plenty, don't worry.
But my kind of damning overarching takeaway from the last year was that they're continuing with the Game Pass model and it's going ahead and it seems to be leaving studios and the consumer behind. Like their big focus is that Microsoft and Xbox win out in some like amorphous kind of future that no one really knows what it looks like. Oh yeah, every device can be an Xbox because we'll have cloud gaming that you can just stream. You don't have to have a fast phone. You can play whatever game you want anywhere. But it's even the customers behind, I think. And it's failing studios. So what are they doing? what's going on? And the result of that being that they're like giving away exclusives to try and shore up their losses. It just feels like it's going in a I think the end of 2023 was the beginning of it, but now in 2024 it feels like it's going in a more ugly direction. And for now, the Game Pass model still works for people who are like in their 30s and 40s or have families or have really busy jobs and stuff like that. It works right now. Just don't, I have pretty much lost faith that it's going to work long term without the exclusives. Think so.
Especially if a studio went under because their game was so successful. Game Pass on day one.
Yeah.
But if they hadn't made that deal and it hadn't gone to Game Pass, they may have made a fortune because people bought their game. But because it's free, they don't get any money other than the deal that they already had made.
The argument on the other side of that, which I'm not really, I'm kind of on your side, but I guess just to play devil's advocate, being a part
of
Xbox,
you can never ever have a surprise hit. If it's going
they get more eyes on it.
Yeah. If it's part of Game Pass and it's part of it, it's on the screen. But you're right, they've already agreed a deal and they've gotten their money regardless in terms of. But like by how it did, they probably would have made more had they not been involved in that. As an example, but I'm sure there's you know arguments that could be made for studios that did the same thing and probably wouldn't have made as much unless Xbox was involved. And that's probably a deeper dive. But you guys want to hear the blue corner?
Yes,
I'm curious. I want to hear the blue corner.
Listen, I've got. Of course, cons of PlayStation in 2024. But overall, I think it was a... I mean, 2023, I struggled to kind of really praise them a lot. That's why I went with Nintendo in 2023. But this year, there's a good few things that, from a personal level, I really enjoyed. I'll talk about, like, we talk about exclusives. I'll bring that up as the first point. I've mentioned five here that, not that I've played them all, but I...
Commander.
...was aware that I was in them. But we talk about Black Myth Wukong. Was a PlayStation exclusive. Only because Xbox wouldn't help, Microsoft wouldn't help the studio sort out the issues they were having to get it available on Xbox, to the point where the team behind Black Myth Wukong actually had to go
like
public.
Baldur's Gate 3. Oh,
they had to go public and say, hey, like, we've been messing you for ages, why aren't you getting back to us? Like, this is the problem with getting it on Series S or X, whatever it was, and then that eventually, but it's still not available on Xbox, I don't think. So it was essentially a PlayStation...
It is available on Xbox now. I'll look it up. Sorry, you go.
I could be wrong on that one, but that
if
was...
If it happened in the last 2 months, it doesn't matter.
We talked about Silent Hill 2, the remake, really well received, and then we've got Helldivers 2, which was a bit of a phenomenon when it came out, and that people were crazy for.
Those
are
some good games.
Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, of course. Yeah,
baby!
And then,
sorry, whose corner are you
in? I already know who's going to win. And the second he said that, he won. He got my vote. Like,
Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, and then, of course, we have Astrobot. And just for three of those five games that I've mentioned, Astrobot Game of the Year, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth nominee for Game of the Year, and Black Myth Wukong
Game of the Year.
Nominee for Game of the Year. Yeah, I agree. I mean, I love that Astrobot won it, but I would have preferred Rebirth. But in terms of exclusives, we've got... Like the games exclusive to PlayStation are really holding center court, I think, for what we experienced last year as a consumer. So I think that was really, really important. One of the big updates that they did, the PlayStation Portal came out at the end of 2023. But one of the updates that they brought into the PlayStation Portal for 2024, which I thought was a really clever thing to do, was to allow cloud gaming. So that if you had a PlayStation profile, like a PlayStation Plus membership, you didn't have to own a PlayStation to use the portal. So I can go into cloud gaming on my portal. Doesn't make any sense to me because I've got my PS5 I connect to, I play all my games, but people can now buy a PlayStation Portal for £200 instead of paying £500 for a PS5 and go onto their cloud gaming and play games without ever having to own a PlayStation, which I thought was a really cool thing that they did to allow just more people into the ecosystem to play games. Now, I looked at the games, it's still, the cloud is still a beta. They call it like a beta cloud gaming for PlayStation. There's lots of games on it that I think are great, but I think the library wouldn't exactly do a huge amount for me, but I was like, that'd be great for people who want to play certain PlayStation games that they can't. So I thought that was a real kind of pro-consumer thing to do, to kind of say, hey, why not buy our cheaper thing? You can still play cloud gaming. And I thought it was a positive from PlayStation, because I think no matter whether I agree or disagree, I'm more of a physical game kind of person, physical copies. Cloud gaming is where it is going, for sure. And it was nice to see PlayStation kind of really get... It's the first time in 2024 that I saw them kind of get involved in that, because the stuff that they were doing before... wasn't, you know, didn't function great. But the cloud gaming aspect of the PlayStation Portal works perfectly. I tested it on my portal. I thought this is great. Doesn't do a whole lot for me because I have a PlayStation, but for other people, fantastic. Some of the cons, I mean, we talk about job losses. Sony PlayStation let go 8% of their workforce in 2024. Like 900 people were let go across different divisions across PlayStation. I still think, as we talked about it in the news so many times, so many companies are still suffering from what was the highs of gaming during COVID and now the downsizing that they had to do post-COVID. So to me, I'm like letting go 900 people, not great. Surely you can organize your business better, that you don't have to to do that, potentially. Again, I'm not CEOs of big companies, so what do I know? And then a really big con I had for PlayStation was that their model for 2024 was live service gaming. That was the road that they were taking, saying this is the future for us, which I have a massive problem with, because for them it was definitely a cash grab. When I look at the live service games that they put out there and the live service games that failed, the biggest one to point to was Concord. We talk about Tango getting shut down because of what Games Pass did. The studio behind Concord, the game released to terrible reviews, terrible player count, and people absolutely shouting it down. It lasted a month before they, not even said we're not going to continue developing it. They just cut it. It was like done, gone. And I don't know.
That's a win for video games though, ultimately.
I mean, it is. But in terms of what I look at that, I say that there's a whole nother studio closed down. Loads more people have lost their job because of this. Yeah, and they've wasted, I think it was like tens, if not hundreds of millions in what they did. I mean, Concord was even meant to have monthly animated, like, they had like a TV series planned out for Concord, essentially, that every month when you were getting introduced to the next season pass, it was a small animated show. Like, that's what they were going through. They had this massive plan.
Those poor
completely
animators.
Failed. Yeah. And then I look at what was canned then because of it. And there was a Last of Us multiplayer that kind of had a live service model behind it that got canned. God of War live service game was canned then afterwards. And then there's a Horizon multiplayer, which I haven't heard anything about since, that supposedly might have had a live service aspect to it. But you look at all the, I mean, Last of Us multiplayer was well in production, so was this God of War one supposedly, so you're talking about, again, millions wasted, time wasted, people probably not securing jobs and afterwards. And live service as a model is one that I'm vehemently against, I think, across the board, in terms of, I think it's quite what's not greedy but
predatory
a little bit. Yeah,
that's a great word for it.
Yeah, I think so. So those are some of my cons. If anyone wants to hop in here, I got plenty more. But if anyone wants to hop in at any point on anything I've said, please.
No, that's like, it was great to hear some good and a little bad in there. But ultimately, like, that's some. And you didn't even mention Baldur's Gate 3, because that didn't come out for Xbox and it definitely didn't come out for Switch. So I mean, like, you get the mad.
But that was a 2023.
Oh,
so
shit, was it?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, apologies, gentlemen.
Yeah, I can't talk about that. I mean, I can keep going. And this is a pro slash con. This kind of falls right in the middle of my next point in terms of the hardware that the PlayStation 5 introduced. We got a PlayStation 5 Pro, which I think in previous years or console generations, there's very much a console war still taking place, whereas Xbox is bringing out their middle iteration of their consoles that were more powerful. PlayStation was doing the same. This was the first year that Xbox didn't enter that market at all. There was no...
They had a 2 terabyte model of the one that's
just
already out there.
One more storage. So in a way you can say, hey, PlayStation's one, they got a... And I bought the Pro, but because Xbox wasn't involved in that and PlayStation went ahead, I think there was a definitely, we'll use the word again, predatory type of thing, where the PlayStation 5 Pro was phenomenally expensive and they could charge that amount because there was no competition. Mm-hmm. There was no, hey, here's a brand new middle range. Do you want the Xbox version or the PlayStation version?
Yeah.
Because there was no competition, someone was like, well, this is the only one on the market and we're going to charge $800.
You think that was
it.
The reason? I assumed it was just because of the tech involved. Like,
see, because it's not that much, I don't believe. I've played certain games on it. I love how it looks. Final Fantasy, I think, looks brilliant. Yeah. And I can't wait to play Monster Hunter on it. And I will talk about why I think it is going to be worth it in the future. But I think not it wasn't worth it in 2024. Do you know that kind of way?
Well, it's only going to be until about 2026, 2027, until the PS6 comes out. Yeah. Like, you know, so.
But in terms of talking about its pro... in terms of what it's got in the future, but again, this doesn't really count for the 2024 argument, but in the most recent state of play that we had, the last couple of trailers were all PlayStation Pro, like, captured, so like built for PlayStation 5 Pro, which we haven't seen yet. Like, I didn't see that in 2024 because it was just like, oh, we're going to enhance the game that already exists, but now there's games like, we got Tides of Annihilation, Lies of Pi, Lost Soul Aside, Hell Is Us, all shown on PlayStation 5 Pro when they were showing the gameplay, all developed for that. So I think it's got a future for the last couple of years, possibly.
I hope so, because there is a chance, though, that they're only showing it on those consoles because it will look slightly better on those consoles.
Yeah.
But if it isn't specifically made for that console, because it's obviously going to come out for the regular PS5 as well as the Xbox Series, whatever.
Yeah.
And so, that, you know, when you're tailoring to both versions, you kind of sacrifice what... you want
so
it
these
to look like.
Certain of these games, I think, are PlayStation. I could be wrong about this, but I think the likes of Tides of Annihilation, I think, is a PlayStation exclusive. So that could be a completely pro job. It's only in development, so I don't know. So I can't say for sure. So while I enjoyed the fact that we still got an improved console, the jury's still out on whether or not it was worth it, I think.
Is it not a bit alienating for PlayStation 5 owners who... can't afford a PS5 Pro and have no plans on buying one, mm-hmm. for all the trailers to be like for future releases.
Well, no, so because they'll always, a trailer will always want you to see the best version of something, you know.
And it wasn't, it wasn't all,
even with that before that, like we were always seeing the footage and it was the PC version.
But
you know,
you've had the experience before of watching like cinematics for games and being like, well, who the fuck cares? It's a cinematic. I want to see the gameplay that I will be playing.
Yeah, too, no, right? And the thing about that state of play is it not everything was shown in that. They had a section at the end where they revealed these couple of games and it was shown. So I think that was just to show, hey, here's all the stuff that's coming.
And they can
a couple of things in the exactly, but here's a couple of things that'll be we're showing on the PlayStation 5 Pro. How amazing does this look? So yes, if it is alienating people, I'm not a big fan of that. But I, as a person, I'm going to be selfish here. As a person who's purchased a PlayStation 5 Pro, I really want to pick up something and play that was developed for that to know what it's capable of. Yeah. You know,
they're not. Sorry, are they? Titles, some of those are titles that are developed for the PS5 Pro, is that correct?
So I had a section at the end, they had like, the thing was 40 odd minutes long, it was like a couple of weeks ago, and the last 5 minutes of it, where they showed like three or four games, like the ones I said, Tides of Annihilation, Saros, Lost Soul, Aside, and Hell Is Us, were all shown at the end, and it said captured on PlayStation 5 Pro, which nothing prior to that had said that in the trailer. So my interpretation of that was to say, okay, these games must have been in development using the superior technology.
Was
the PlayStation 5 Pro.
Lies of P one of those?
I have it on this list, but I can't remember if it was shown at the end or not. I can guarantee.
Anyway, if it wasn't 2024, it's all irrelevant anyway.
It is.
That's a separate conversation.
But the final thing I want to say on last year was PlayStation's 30th anniversary. And I like the little things that they did for consumers with that. I mean, if you own a PlayStation, had a lovely selection of themes that were very consumer based. Oh, do you want to listen to the PlayStation 1 sound on your PlayStation, mm-hmm. the 2, the 3? And they brought out the line of 30th anniversary controllers, consoles, like big celebration. I thought it was all very, very cool. Tried to get my hands on a 30th anniversary Pro, wasn't happening, looked amazing. But I think that was just a nice thing to do. I know they did it for the 25th anniversary as well, but watching it all, I was like, this looks like a lot of attention to detail for the consumer, which I very much appreciated.
I like the way PlayStation do that. PlayStation have always been very good at focusing on that kind of nostalgia, fan kind of cashing in on fan nostalgia. They do it well. They do it like they read
they
the room.
They do it much better than Nintendo do.
And they do it way. Xbox did a thing this year where they were like, so there's like custom dashboards you can have for when you fire up the UI. I like the UI on Xbox. I think it's really good. But they had one this year where they were like, oh, you can make your background be like the blades from the Xbox 360, that like old nostalgic UI, or even the original UI from the Xbox, the original Xbox, we don't know what to call it anymore. Mm-hmm. The original Xbox, you can make it look like that. And when you do it, it's just like a wallpaper in the background. I'm like, this is such a low effort
like
way
the,
of
yeah,
like
real lazy.
Sure,
yeah,
on the Switch, there's still no way of having, there's only the black background and the white background. And to this day, that's all there is. Like, yeah. That's all
and,
there is.
And it's mad from Nintendo to do that because Nintendo fans and consumers are probably the ones who'd be biggest into that level
that
of customization.
Level of nonsense. Yeah. The stuff that isn't games. The stuff that's irrelevant. You know? you think Nintendo will be all over that shit. Like.
I think we need somebody else in the Nintendo corner next year.
Here, can I, because I didn't expect you guys, I thought we would like rotate, like we'd say a few things, rotate. So
yeah, sorry, I went on a bit of a buzz there, I'm sorry.
No, but you both did, so you're equally at fault. but what I mean is, I had a few more negative things to
please,
say.
Please,
Nintendo,
okay,
right?
Yeah, while
to
we're on the topic,
them,
yeah.
Princess Peach Showtime. I mean, that looked really, really cool. I loved the idea of Princess Peach getting all these outfits, but the main thing I thought when I saw that was, wow, her Smash Brothers character is going to be deadly next time. Like, that's all I cared about. Yeah. A Peach would have some extra outfits for Smash Brothers, you know? The game itself seemed okay, but a classic case of, you know, more of a game for babies type thing. You know, you jump and you attack and that's pretty much it. You know, it's a side scroller.
There's a theme with these
visually
Nintendo
impressive
games.
If it was free or €10, I would get it, but it will never be because it's a Nintendo game, so that's going to disappear into the ether forever. Zelda Wisdom something or other is
Echoes of Wisdom.
Yeah, Zelda Wisdom. Yes. Fucking
who got this guy for the red corner?
Wisdom.
Zelda, who gives a fuck? Like, this is the first game. Ever game where you get to play as Zelda, and they just did it. They did the remake
which
the 2D bullshit.
I have
Zelda
to say,
game.
Is a massive pity because as a person who didn't finish Tears of the Kingdom, mm-hmm. and on your playthrough, I didn't even finish Breath of the Wild, but a good chunk. Like, the Zelda character seems like there's something definitely to build on.
Yes, and massively.
And to get,
but not in this game.
No.
Not when such a you pity. Can't, like, if to look at them, the 2D models, you would think that that was Link, you know? Like, yeah. They look the same. They play the same. The only difference between her is that, like, in this game, she can, like, basically, like Pokemon, she can capture the monsters and then release them. And then she just has to run around avoiding attacks while the monsters auto-attack the other monsters. So all she does, like, in a combat situation is kind of avoid, run around, like, go up, down, left. You probably can't even move diagonally. Like, it's one of these old school 2D shit top-down kind of Zelda games, you know, which shouldn't exist anymore. They were great then, but there's been about 20 of them since. And so now the model is over and it's done. Let's stop this, you know. But they keep making them and there's just nothing new going. Like, I bet they made this game within a year or less, probably, just like the others that I've mentioned. And even when she does initiate combat, she, rather than pick up a sword and use it herself, she turns into Link. So they reuse those assets to just get her to be Link when she has a sword. They couldn't even animate a sword in her hand. They went, we'll have you change into a kind of Link-looking thing.
And because we know from Tears of the Kingdom and from, like, any from before those games, from, like, Sheik, you know, as a character, yeah, we know she's capable of holding her own.
But I massively take offense with those 2D Zelda games because, like every time I go into a dungeon and I pick up a pot and there's a little circle on the ground and I go, oh, I'll put the pot on that circle and the door opens. Like, I can't do that anymore, you know? I've done that 50 times in 50 Zelda games.
I'm no longer,
you know,
capable.
Like, that's no longer interesting. You can't do that anymore.
This is a man at the end of his road.
Yeah, like, I play, like, and fair enough, if you're 4 years old and you've never done that before, maybe you'll get a kick out of it.
Yeah.
But I'm fucking 38 years old and I've done that 50 times already, like, you know? And they'll still make that the first puzzle in every game that they ever do.
Do you know, the final year for Switch games just feels like everyone's real tired over there. Everyone's real tired.
I'm fed up because they're just milking the same cow over and over again. Like,
150
you know,
million units, man. They're milking it for a reason.
But that Zelda Wisdom game has amazing reviews. You know, stellar reviews. 9 out of 10s from people and all that type of bollocks. And I'm just like, the industry is doomed if they are just going to do these little 2D... Like, this is a game that should have came out on the 3DS and should have been €40. And yet is 70 on the Switch.
That's crazy.
And everyone's saying it's amazing.
Yeah.
When you're like 50% of this game is combat. And in combat, you just are running up, down, left, right, avoiding damage. No, of course I can get it. I just watched the review today.
Okay. And I think the problem is, and look, it's probably a bigger conversation on gaming in general, but like the review thing needs to be taken a bit more seriously in that, like, Zelda Echoes of Wisdom, give it a 5 out of 10 or a 6 out of 10 and have all the reviews saying this isn't like a fully priced game, you can't do that, it's not fair, to get people to realize that, like, you can't really be charging full price for
these kind of
games.
But they're clearly making the money and they know it's working.
Yeah.
And it's their swan song year. Is that the word? The term?
Yeah, yeah.
So they're releasing all these games that they can make in fucking no time. So Mario & Luigi, Brothership, I mentioned Paper Mario, I mentioned Princess Peach, it's a 2D fucking scroller. Zelda Wisdom, it's a top-down Game Boy game from 20 years ago. No thanks. Mario Party Jamboree.
Now here we go.
Apparently that's a really, really good game.
So reviews of that are positive and I watched lots of stuff because my next question was, hey Craig, got anything positive for us from Nintendo?
This is Mario the one Party thing Jamboree. I'm going to say, yeah.
Mario Kart Jamboree is your thing this year.
Yeah, Mario Kart Jamboree, because every year I am always like, oh man, a new Mario Party would be great.
Yeah.
And they always disappoint because do you know how many Mario Party games they've made to this day?
11 or 12, is it?
13 main, 6 handheld, and 7 arcade. 26.
Whoa. Jesus
26
Christ.
26 Mario Party
And none of
games.
Them have been as good as the, like, Nintendo 64
there's
versions.
There's been 5 Smash Brothers, and the fifth one is the culmination of everything. Mario Party, by the same logic, should be the greatest game ever made.
So,
like,
many iterations. Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's the 26.
But that was an interesting one because we played the last Mario Party. No, not the last Mario Party one that came out before Jamboree, but the one before that. We kind of like got on a hype and said, we'll play that, and we did, but it was quite boring. I remember I had it with my brothers at Christmas and I was like, God, there's so little in this for a Mario Party
four
game.
Levels. This game has 7 and they're like, 7 levels? Can you believe it? I'm like, Mario Kart has 16 in the SNES version. Like, the new Mario Kart has 96 levels. Like, you know, you couldn't build more than 7 boards and you're giving it a 9 out of 10. I know I was ending on a positive. But it still really irritates me that this is the best Mario Party and it's still shit.
Yeah, still not
like,
great.
If the very first Mario Party that ever came out had about 50 mini games. This Mario Party probably has 100, including those 50. you know? So fuck all new. And if I wanted to play, like, say I just want to play Bumper Balls or Shy Guy Says, two of the best mini games that there are, I have to play a 2-hour game and hope it comes up randomly.
But I think in Jamboree the mini games are available.
You can do that? Because in Mario Part 1, the very first one from 1999, you could play a mode where you could just pick any mini game you wanted
and
play.
And I think they brought that back, and I think that was a problem that I had with, like, because the most fun part about Mario Party is, of course, the mini games. Because the board stuff can be a bit boring and dull. And it's a bit, it got a bit stale in that you could always, like,
well,
it should have been more random.
Well, 10 coins for the star is outrageous. Yeah. It just meant you were getting stars all the time. And you could lose every mini game and still win.
And still win, So I'm happy that that came out and changed to be a little bit more like what was good about Mario Party. But is that it for positives on Nintendo?
Yeah, so that's my big positive. I just needed to, like, finish off and mention the games. So there's Princess Peach, Zelda Wisdom, whatever, Mario Party Jamboree, Unicorn Overlord. No, that came out on the other ones. Mario & Luigi Brothership and Paper Mario 1000 Year Door. Those are all the exclusives, and most of them are shit.
Yeah.
They all got great reviews somehow. Every one of these games got great reviews, but most of them are not good. With the exception of, and I want to get it now, the new Mario Party game. We should get it.
We should have an evening with it. Yeah,
and
be good.
See if it's any good. And if it's not, I'll come back here and deduct points from myself.
For yourself, Bennett. Right. Luke, do you have anything you want to add on Xbox?
Do you have a single game you could mention, maybe?
I mentioned loads of games.
What game did you mention?
You just don't listen to me, Craig.
Name one of the games
you just
mentioned.
Don't listen to me. That's the main problem here.
One of the games.
The Indiana Jones game? No? You don't remember that?
I do remember that.
Yeah, you do remember that. You do remember that.
Fine, you're sorry 10 minutes. The amount of times you say Game Pass, what does that even mean?
This fucking guy.
I can't play that.
Remember last year when I had to, like, list out hundreds of Game Pass games?
You did not.
Shut up.
You did not.
I did.
You did not.
I did.
Go back and listen to that.
Yeah, go back and listen to it.
You said Game Pass like 50 times.
What I love about this is that I'm sitting here being like, it doesn't matter what you guys say, PlayStation's winning 2024.
Last year, I spent 4 minutes listing out every single Game Pass game that I could get my hands on, and just the ones that I actually cared about as well. Like,
which
I left out
nothing.
All the,
like,
I there
came
was
in
so
here,
many
the
games
very first
that
thing
list.
I said on the show was that I forfeit.
You
we are going
delusional.
Down. I am going to lose, and then somehow, you lost anyway with just so much negativity and nothing, no game. Indiana Jones excluded, you know.
but on that point, like, is there anything else you want to add on Xbox? You know, good or bad?
I want someone else from the Nintendo corner. That's what I want to add.
I mean, I don't mean to put you on the spot. There's nothing. That's A-OK, you know.
What were the other excuses, by the way? Just like, I honestly don't remember.
So there is Indiana Jones. There was a game called Stalker 2, which some people liked and most people thought was absolutely dreadful.
Forza Horizon 5 came out last year, did it?
Not Forza. I think it was just Forza.
Oh, is it Forza?
Yeah,
okay, sorry, that one, yeah.
Just in case there is a chance you could get the point. I doubt it. Like, based on, like, I think you just said Final Fantasy 7. All you have to do is say that again. Like, take all the points. But it has to be impartial.
No, there was I think the big one from last year was Senua's Saga.
Which in fairness looked phenomenal.
Looked phenomenal. Apparently the gameplay, I don't know, I don't know if I can play it because I have Game Pass Standard.
Damn, Luke, here we go. Slippery slope.
Yeah. No, for Xbox in 2024, kind of a womp.
Yeah.
Just kind of looking forward. Bit worried. Don't think it's gonna go really well. Don't think next year is gonna be good. I don't think we'll have any exciting news. I think my prediction, the wildest thing that Microsoft could do at this point would be to stick to their model of having a cheapo console, because the Xbox Series S, there's one game that won't release, and it's Black Myth Wukong, that won't release because they can't get it running on Series S, or like Microsoft won't work with them or whatever.
Baldur's Gate 3, they managed to fix that for Series S, which I was very impressed by.
They have it running on Series S. So there's only one game on the market that won't run on the Series S. I think the Series S is a really bold strategy of a model, like having a next-gen console that's like £250.
Affordable, yeah.
That's crazy. Like, the whole model was supposed to be affordable console. You get your subscription. So, like, for the price of a PS5 Pro, you could get a Series S with like 4 years worth of Game Pass Ultimate, right? So it's just out and out, the cheaper, more affordable, more accessible option.
Yeah.
That's supposed to be their whole thing. It will be really interesting to see what Microsoft do next year. Like, really interesting to see. Or in the next 2 years, I'll say. because I don't know if they will do anything next year. I don't know if we'll. There was teases of Xbox Brooklyn is the name of their project for.
Oh, that from the leaks or something.
Yeah, from the leaks last year. So I don't know what that's actually going to pan out to. But now 2024 is just a bit of a womp womp year. Just, you know, Game Pass is still fun, but I don't know how much longer it's going
to
last.
Fair. I think it's safe to say, although I'm not going to put words in your mouth, we'll put it to the vote. But I think, based on what we've all discussed here, I think the only person who had like kind of real positives to speak on was probably me.
Some people may have argued, like most people probably who played some of these Nintendo, I mean IGN and all them fucking dickheads, but they all given like
that is not the party line
people,
here.
All the people who gave like the 9 out of 10s and stuff for all these bad games. I mean, they probably think that Nintendo had a good year.
Yeah.
But for me, it was a really, really dull, boring year. And I guess it makes sense because they are coming out with a new console
and in fairness,
next year.
Lots of
but it was a bad year.
And
for
lots of 2024
games.
Was just people being like, "Yo, where's Switch 2?" That was like for ages. The consumer rise was like, "Yo, when you gonna say anything about that?" Like, you know.
So 2025 could be a big year for Nintendo.
Yeah.
2024, I'm saying it. I'm putting it out there. You had the Indiana Jones thing. I don't know what that is, but it's probably better than what Nintendo did this year. So I'm taking third place.
Luke, where does your vote lie based on our conversations?
My vote's got to be in the blue corner. I actually wish you would have talked a bit more about the Portal. The Portal was this year, wasn't it?
Portal was released in 2023, November 2023, the very end. Interestingly enough, was that we did our episode on the big three in November of 2023. We did it at the end of towards the end of the year.
I
didn't actually, I don't think I had one at the time or I was waiting for it. I can't remember. I'll have to listen back to the episode. So I don't think I had much of a chance to talk about it. I mean, I was happy enough to talk about the cloud integration and all that kind of stuff. So we've got to mention because there was some updates, which is great. But yes, listen, I think that thing's been phenomenally good for me in terms of how I play games. And I hope it... Actually, that's what we'll finish on. I know we're running on time here, but I'll finish
Rebirth?
On...
is that
what you're going to say? No.
That's not what I was
going to
say.
I mean, it's amazing. I think we're all happy to say maybe PlayStation 1 2024.
Landslide, yes. Easy.
Xbox in second and Nintendo in third. A fall from grace for Nintendo. Can I get a quick prediction of you guys for 2025? Like, we're going to be sitting here next year, all going well, and we'll be discussing our corners again. A quick prediction. Craig?
I think, because I think this next year might be a tough one for both Xbox and PlayStation. There aren't that many big... I mean, Monster Hunter is huge. That might, like, massively tip the favor in your stead. But I think Nintendo launching a new console...
It'd be a big deal.
There'll be a lot of momentum behind that. And
Monster Hunter's coming out on Xbox as well.
Huh?
Monster Hunter's...
Yeah,
Monster
Hunter's done everything, yeah.
Oh,
except
then,
Switch.
Yeah, yeah, yes. But because you should both get points then. Nintendo will get nothing. But... They are likely to release a new Mario Kart next year, Mario Kart 9. And even though, like, from the video we saw, I just thought it was Mario Kart 8. I couldn't tell the difference.
Yeah.
I still think it's probably going to be great. Like, because every Mario Kart game, bar maybe the Wii version, has, like, had just excellent gameplay, really good mechanics. And even though they can't really enhance graphically, this is a core Nintendo game, not one of these parody bullshits or, you know, Superstar Soccer or any of that. This is Mario Kart, baby.
Yeah.
This is one of the big ones, you know? And I think they'll do a good job with that. And Metroid Prime is supposed to come out. So I think with those two, they could have a really solid year and at least something to base that on.
And have a good conversation.
As well as the new console. So it could be a big year.
Luke, Xbox predictions for 2025?
Absolutely no idea. I have absolutely no idea. Probably just, they're probably just going to keep the ship going and we'll probably get an announcement of what next gen looks like. They'll probably start to throw stature around and that kind of thing. Talk a big game. But we're actually going to have like a new Nintendo console release next year. Do you know?
Yeah.
Right? That is next year, isn't it?
No, so 2025, the Switch 2.
Or sorry.
I know, it feels like we're in 2024. We are actually in 2025.
The Switch 2 is 2025, though. Yeah. And I think the best you'll get from Xbox is they'll probably just say some kind of hypey things about the next Xbox console, but like, why would I even listen to them when like their strategy for the past while has been distancing themselves from the console model? I don't know. It's just, it's a mess. It's a really messy crossroads for Xbox. So it'll be an interesting year.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily think it will be a good year.
Fair. My predictions of 2025 of PlayStation, I think it's going to have in terms of exclusive wise, a stronger year. They came out and said that they wouldn't have any of their big AAA games out until post March 2025. So we're talking the Naughty Dog, the Guerrilla, the guys behind God of War, so we can expect maybe something along the big names that have made PlayStation as popular as it has been out this year or announced this year. Other than that, I'd love to, like, the PlayStation Portal has been so popular that there's been lots of chatter online about people being like, make another PlayStation Portable, like something that doesn't have to, like, remotely connect, like do the PSP, like the original PSP, do something like that again. I'd love to hear them thinking about something like that. I think the way gaming is going, I don't think we'll get something like that, but I'd love if we did.
I don't think we need that.
No, people are crying out for it, but I just don't think it would work for them. I don't think it's beneficial to them. So I'd love to see the Portal and the cloud gaming that they've got with that increase. I can see them kind of going with that. It's been hugely successful. Do I think it has enough in its year to beat a Switch 2 announcement? Possibly yes, because the Switch 2 stuff has been so quiet that I'm like, we've seen pictures of Mario Kart 9, but is a Switch 2 and a Mario Kart 9, that's kind of maybe...
Apparently there's a big, massive direct in April. Gonna happen.
So we'll know a lot more then, so we'll
Do you, Craig, actually, do you think that if the PS5 comes out with like a great roster of games next year, that just trumps like a Switch 2 with a poor launch roster?
Monster Hunter, depending on how many hours I put in, may that just alone. Win. Yeah. I may lose to Monster Hunter by itself, you know?
And that's on the Xbox and the PlayStation.
I mean, it's definitely not coming out on the Switch because it could never handle that.
Do you know what is coming out on the Switch 2, though? Confirmed, Final Fantasy VII Remake and Final Fantasy VII Rebirth.
What?
For Switch 2?
Yep.
I would never, ever buy
it. I believe like, confirmed.
I always thought anyone who bought The Witcher 3 on the Switch was a goddamn idiot. You know? Like, because that was never, ever going to be pleasant, you know? No. So I just like, don't bother because it's not going to be good.
I'm so interested to see just how powerful the Switch 2 actually is, like what it's capable of playing.
If you can run Remake and Rebirth, that's interesting.
Yeah, interesting.
It's like, interesting, but not in a good way. It's just oh, we want to make some more money, here you go. Yeah. And then a bunch of people will buy it and be like, oh... It's like, but we already got your money. Thanks too late. Aha, that's what you get. So well, it's not going to be a good thing.
It's been a pleasure. It's been a pleasure. Nintendo is our 2023 winner. PlayStation is our 2024 winner. Who knows for 2025? We'll be back here in a year's time. Craig, thank you so much for hopping on.
Of course.
Luke, thank you so much for hopping on. Yeah. We're going to do our post show, patreon.com/thegiftofgame. Check it out there. We're going to possibly go into our first round of our new knockout stage of the Gift of Gaming Battle Royale. So if you're into that, check us out. And until then, listeners, as always and forever, keep enjoying the gift that is gaming. Peace out.